This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Carlton Brown, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.
Greetings. I'm Dr. Shafiq Khan, director of the Cancer Center. The Cancer Center is committed to carrying out highly productive basic research in cancer cell and molecular biology, training of undergraduate and graduate students and research fellows in cancer research, and increasing awareness for prevention, early detection, and treatment of cancers which disproportionately affect the African American population. We hope to provide our audience with the most recent and up-to-date information on cancer healthcare issues facing our community.
Hello, I'm Barbara Washington, and this is Your Health Connection. On today's program, we will be discussing breast cancer, advances in diagnoses and treatment, and how survivors and their loved ones can do their best to overcome this disease. Our guests today are Dr. Karen Gaudette, an oncologist with Emory University, and breast cancer survivor Shermaine Axum-Wilkins. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Shermaine, when you were diagnosed with breast cancer, you were in the middle of a promising career, and your diagnosis led you to use your skills and outreach to embark on a different mission in life. What did you understand about breast cancer at that time and how it would affect you?
At that time, I didn't know much about breast cancer. I had hoped that it would be something that I could deal with like a cold and then move on with my life. But the reality is it becomes your life, and it is something that embracing it is makes the journey easier than to act as though it is that common cold that you can just push to the side. It's not. So for that, I did realize early on that I needed to deal with the mental, physical, and social effects that it had on me.
What were some of the types of things that you did to cope?
I guess about the time I completed my chemotherapy, I started therapy. I started just speaking with someone. I had many different opinions about whether I should or shouldn't, or if I needed to, that I should just speak with my pastor or speak with my friends or join the support group. And all those things are great. But for me, I'm glad that I chose just a therapist, individual one-on-one therapy. It helped me to maybe see things that were already there or to reassure myself of that it's okay to say, why me? Or it's okay to cry. And sometimes I've maybe the armor or the toughness or not letting someone see that part of you is not as healthy as it is to just be yourself and embrace it and say, it's okay. I am hurt. I am, you know, sorry. I am not sorry, but I am hurting. I am a victim of something that I now have to deal with. And it's an emotional thing that you have to realize and accept. The therapy answers questions that you really already know or helps you to realize things. So she was great in that she didn't tell me what I needed to do or how I needed to feel. She actually helped me come to those conclusions and decisions, which of course makes it a better, like, aha, like, oh, I got it now. It was more real than for her to, you know, kind of dictate, you know, how I should feel at this point in my life. So
how did you discover that you had breast cancer?
A routine mammogram at Emory Breast Center, and no family history, but I, at the age over 40, start doing a routine mammogram. Mm-hmm. And I, prior to 2002, when I was diagnosed, I had gone back for maybe a second mammogram or a second screening or both. And in 2002, my OBGYN, Dr. Camille Davis Williams, got the report. She immediately called and said, you need to see Dr. Roxburgh Phillips. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, still being positive and saying, it's just routine. I made the appointment and followed up, and what they had initially diagnosed, Dr. Phillips confirmed.
So, in other words, you weren't feeling any symptoms, so you needed to go for that exam.
That's right.
Okay. So, I guess what you tell other women about the exams is you've just got to do them on a regular basis.
And that's correct. And what I'm finding, and maybe Dr. Gaudette can speak to this, is that one young lady came to a health fair that the city of Atlanta had a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and she was 28. She had a family history of breast cancer, and she said, when should I begin with a mammogram? And myself and my other associate, Fatima, said, right now. So that's a personal recommendation to someone that has a family history. You know, the medical or insurance companies might not cover it, but you have to decide at that point, what is it worth to you? You know, it is definitely an investment in you know, yourself.
Dr. Gaudette.
Right. So the official time you're supposed to get a mammogram, if someone like your mom has had breast cancer, would be 10 years younger than when your mom had breast cancer. Oh. So if your mom had breast cancer at 45, you should start having a mammogram at age 35. And now the official recommendations are actually that you get a mammogram every year after the age of 40. And some people do screening at the age of 35. That one, you know, is not always sure the insurance will pay for that, but they should pay for every year after 40.
What percentage of women actually do breast self-examinations?
Actually, right now, they are, I want to say, downplaying the importance of that, but they're making it less of an issue than it used to be in the past. Because I think for a lot of women, it was like stressful trying to do this exam every month, and that's not what it's about. It's about if you're in the shower, you feel something. Many times we have patients whose mate appreciates something different about their breast. The main thing is noticing anything different about your breast. Regardless, if you palpate it, you don't have to necessarily feel it, but you could just see it.
You're listening to Your Health Connection. I'm Barbara Washington. This program is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information about breast cancer or to hear this show on demand, just go to the Your Health Connection webpage at wclk.com or visit ccrtd.cau.edu. You wear two hats at Emory, Dr. Gaudette. You're the medical director of the Emory University Hospital Midtown Radiation Oncology Department, and you're also the medical director of the Grady Radiation Technology School. What propelled you to specialize in oncology when you graduated from Howard University?
Actually, as a medical student, my second year of medical school, I got a research grant to, you had to pick a topic, and I picked oncology, and I worked at the Cancer Center the first year in the lab. And the next year, I decided I wanted to work with oncology patients just to see what that would be like. And so I worked at Howard University in the radiation oncology department, and actually that was a very vibrant department at that time. And that kind of spurred my interest in oncology. In the meantime, you know, my grandmother did die of pancreatic cancer, okay. But I think it was just a combination of all the things. And what I liked about oncology was the fact that the patient stays with me, you know. I treat the patient, I take care of the problem, but the patient stays with me after and you follow that patient because breast cancer is not something that's over in 5 years. Mm. And I think many people, when they get breast cancer, think, okay, I reach 5 years, that's it. But it's not like that. And so I have people that I followed for many, many years. I've treated siblings, I've treated husbands and wives, I've treated, you know, many members of a family. And I liked that about oncology, but I liked having the problem, trying to fix it, but also having that relationship with their patient. And now I think what's changed most with breast cancer, it's more like a chronic disease. Mm. You should look at it like how we look at diabetes. In the old days, a woman got metastatic breast cancer, meaning that the breast cancer had gone to another part of her body. She'd be dead in 1 or 2 years. I mean, you know, and everybody would give up hope. Now women live for many, many years with metastatic cancer, and they have so many more options are available that now you treat it more like a chronic disease. The problem comes up, you try to fix it.
Charmaine, you're involved in a community outreach group called Sisters by Choice, which is a breast cancer support group that helps people to cope in different ways based on their particular needs. At the time that I was looking at your profile in the group, it indicated that you'd done all the right things. You exercised, you ate the right foods, you got rest, proper rest, and yet you came down with breast cancer. So what did your doctor say was the contributing factor, particularly since you had no family history?
No family history, and to be perfectly honest, that's not the kind of conversation or the interaction that they focus on. It's mm-hmm. not the you've done something or you've not done something. Mm-hmm. It is more of let's find the best method of treatment.
Okay.
So we go in as patients saying, what did I do?
Right.
And they steer us to let's find the best method of treatment, because it could be someone healthier than I and someone that is has done, again, all the right things. And I think that is the biggest mystery that I'm aware of, and that I think the physicians that I've worked with have shared with me, that it is the mystery. But they are very good and very skilled at diverting and taking us where we need to go, which is what's the best method of treatment. And you need to see this doctor, or I've scheduled this, and this is what we recommend, and this is how we're going to, you know, attack this issue. So
I think for the majority of patients, we really can't tell them why they develop breast cancer. You know, only about 10 to 15% of them are even going to be genetically linked. So we can't say it's because it's in your family. We can say if you're on estrogen and you've been exposed to estrogen for a long time, that did increase your risk. Okay. We can say that.
Okay.
But all the other things are general things, you know, healthy lifestyle, low-fat diet, those types of things, less stress, not too much alcohol. All those things are kind of generic, so it's kind of hard. It's not like some other cancers where you could put your finger in one thing, like tobacco and lung cancer, and say this causes breast cancer. Okay. It's just not one of those cancers.
What treatment options did you choose at the time of your diagnosis, and what did your doctor share with you in terms of the options?
Well, because it was 1 centimeter, and when you think of 1 centimeter, you say, oh, wow, that's pretty small. And I guess medically, would you consider that small, Dr. Gaudet, or relative?
It's just relative.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought that was good. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had a lumpectomy. So again, I'm like, this cold is going to go away. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this lumpectomy, and I'm going to be back into the routine of life. And then when they do that, they test the margins. And there was additional cancer options, another lumpectomy or a mastectomy. Mastectomy can go in a couple of different directions. Lumpectomy, they chip away a little more of your breast. And my mind, without seeing some of the pictures at that time, didn't want to look chiseled. Just let's be as whole as possible. The breasts are maybe as important as the hair. I think the hair being the most important. We can manage these if for some reason something happens. But the hair is the most important. But the breast. So my vision was, we'll do the mastectomy. And, you know, I'm thinking, how can I be whole? How can I look whole? Because when we go out, that's important. I chose the mastectomy and had the opportunity to have that procedure done by Dr. Phillips. She is a surgeon. And Glenn Jones, who's a plastic surgeon. But what really got me was when he said, if I had to choose this for my wife, he was speaking to my husband and I, this is what I would do. I was done. I'm like, we're having the transplant, and we're doing the full procedure. We're going to do it. We're going to have the surgery. We're going to, you know, remove. Tell me how, you know. And he was very detailed and drew pictures.
Well,
and
tell us what it's like.
Well, what actually takes place is they remove the tissue from the breast, like a melon. They actually carve it out or take it out, along with the areola and the nipple. My question was at that time, can I save the areola and nipple? But there could be cancerous. There could be cancerous cells in the areola and nipple. It's gone. They deal with that in another way. They remove the tissue. Now, depending on other, I guess, physical things with your body will determine if they can take that tissue from your stomach, remove the fat from your stomach, and place it inside your breast. Then you have 12 muscles in the rectus abdominis. How many?
Yeah, they just bring them.
They took one from my abdomen and brought it up to the breast to give it the blood supply so it lives, so the tissue is fed. So all of these muscles that run up and down your stomach, you know, they took one and brought it back to the breast so that it was getting the, I guess, the blood supply that it needed. They fill it. He did a great job of creating the balance, grafted some skin and made the areola. And later, I was able to get, I chose the share nipple, where they took a piece of my nipple from one side and placed it on the other, on the areola area, and created this wonderful breast. I'm bionic. That's what I said.
You're listening to Your Health Connection. I'm Barbara Washington. This program is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information about breast cancer, or to hear this show on demand, just go to the Your Health Connection webpage at WCLK.com or visit ccrtd.cau.edu. We'll be back in just a moment with more of our conversation with Dr. Karen Gaudette and Shermaine Axum-Wilkins.
Is your annual inspection past due? Regular checkups by your doctor are the key to finding health problems early. 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer. If you have a father or brother who's had it, your chances of getting the disease are even greater. If you're a man over the age of 50, schedule your appointment today. Discuss whether testing for prostate cancer is right for you. This announcement in the public interest is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.